Spoilers for all published books of George R.R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire and all televised episodes of HBO's Game of Thrones.
Hatch a patch. Night gathers, and now our podcast begins. It shall not end until we're done talking. We are
the princes that were promised.
Welcome to the princes that were promised. It's me, it's Shawnee Wan, and with me, as always, is John. Robert's Rebellion is upon us. Last week, we talked about the main players, the movers and shakers on either side, the loyalists and the rebels. Here we are at war. Jon Arryn has raised his banners in revolt against King Aerys. What are you going to do after you raise your banners? It's time to go to war. You have to take the fight to the king. Aerys did not look at this as much of a threat at all to House Targaryen, to the Iron Throne, even though it does end up changing the entire realm. Do you think it would have been a good idea, along with asking for the heads of Ned Stark and Robert Baratheon, to be send some royal soldiers? I don't know. A Kingsguard?
Like, I think we talked about last week that, wouldn't you think that after Jon Arryn says, no, I'm not giving you the heads, wouldn't it be like, listen, let's take Storm's End. Let's take the fight down. Let's end this quick. Okay, maybe that's the lack of strong militarial command in King's Landing also. Like, if Tywin's there...
I was just going to go to Tywin.
If Tywin's there, you would have to think...
There's no rebellion.
Oh, not definitely. And I think the first thing would be, we're going to take care of Storm's End. We're going to cut off Robert. He won't be even to get to Storm's End. We're not going to kill Stannis because we need to use Stannis. But we're going to take Storm's End.
Stannis will turn on his fucking brother.
Of course.
We know he will.
Robert is going to be trapped now.
Right? Well, this is presupposing that Tywin knows that it's Robert's rebellion. You cut off the Stormlands, that's most likely going to get an end of your rebellion.
This is the way of Aerys getting Robert's head is, okay, Jon Arryn didn't do it. Well, we're going to take Storm's End. Now also you're going to have the loyalists, you're going to have Storm's End, you have the whole entire staff, you have Dorne. Tyrells will be in check, because obviously they're going to follow the Targaryens. You have the Tarleys. That whole entire section now is going to be...
How about the Riverlands? Tywin is serving his hand to the king, Aerys makes this request for Ned's head and Robert's head. What is Tywin doing to make sure that the Riverlands... He's doing something. He's going to realize the key role that the Riverlands plays in this. So he's going to do something. I agree with you about the Stormlands. I think he's definitely going to try to cut a deal with Stannis, besiege the castle before Robert even gets there, force Stannis' hand to make a decision. But the Riverlands, I think Tywin's style, it would be something along the lines of cutting some deals with the upper echelon of noble houses in the Riverlands, your Freys, Brackens, and having them pressure on Hasta Tully. So Hasta Tully sees what happens if he, it's right there in his face. It's one thing to be going back and forth with Jon Arryn and make a marriage alliance unopposed, but if the opposition's there before they can even make the alliance, he's not going to make an alliance. And there, I think the war is over. I think with just eliminating Storm's End, I think you're right. I think that's the rebellion. I don't think you're going to have a war because as it ends up, I think the rebels win because of Robert marching from the south.
Right. They're gaining, from the north. Even with a little bit of a loss there, when the Tarleys cut off Robert, he's still able to gain momentum and go up north.
By the time that happens, it is indeed Robert's rebellion. He is the face of this.
Right, because at Storm's End, there's the three, well, what was it? He won three battles in one day. So now, like,
against Stormlight Houses,
he's now starting to build up Robert Baratheon.
Well, it starts earlier. The actual rebellion, the actual fighting starts with the taking of Goldtown. Ned has to get north and raise the northern banners. And Robert has to get to the Stormlands, make sure Stannis is cool holding Storm's End, and raise the Stormland banners. The problem they have is when they get word of Goldtown remaining loyal to House Targaryen. So House Grafton, whose seat is Goldtown, is willing to betray their overlords, is willing to betray Jon Arryn for good favor with House Targaryen. Maybe they think that Jon Arryn's cause is futile to begin with. But Goldtown is the major port in and out of the Vale. So both sides, the rebels more so, will need control of this in order to get out of the Vale. Ned learns that the Graftons are remaining loyal to the Targaryens, and he decides he can't wait around to take Gull Town. He's got to get north one way or another. As we know, that moves around a lot in this war, but he's got to get a move on. So instead of taking part in the battle, in what's called the taking of Gull Town, Ned heads north to Winterfell to call his banners by crossing the Mountains of the Moon, crosses the Bight to get him into the north, to get him into a safe zone. So it's Jon Arryn that leads the rebel bannermen from the Vale as they march on Gull Town. The fighting, it doesn't last that long, but Robert is the first one to gain the walls, first one to get over, and he immediately slays Mark Grafton, who's leading these forces. The mystique of Robert Baratheon, it's begun. Jon Arryn's able to consolidate rebel control of the Vale by taking Gull Town. Lynn Corbray, you remember Lynn Corbray? He was in Feast for Crows. Mm-hmm. He has a Lady Forlorn. This is Valyrian sword. But he wins knighthood fighting alongside House Grafton during this battle. But once the battle's over, he joins with Jon Arryn. He joins with the rebels. And he goes on to play a big part in the Battle of the Trident. Because I believe it's him that kills Luwyn Martell. I believe it's Lynn Corbray. I'm not mistaken. Godrick Burrell is quoted as saying, "This Baratheon is fearless, and he fights the way a king should fight." So from battle number one, it seems like Robert's now the face of this rebellion, winning this victory, and he just has that charisma. I know you're not a Robert Baratheon fan. I'm less of a Robert Baratheon fan as the time goes on, but you got to admit that he is a charismatic, at least in battle, he's a charismatic guy that can rally men behind him to go and risk their lives and fight for him. I can't think of any battle that Robert has been in before this. He's learned how to fight, but
this is,
maybe he's competed in tournaments, but this is his first real battle that I can think of. It's like he's a natural at it.
He's fine with emotion too. I mean, he's such his size also. Right. He's just going in there for Lyanna, Lyanna. He's just probably, you know, this whole entire mantra. I'm getting my betrothed back, you know, because she loves me so dearly.
He's like ultimate warrior. It's like, you know, like run it to the ring.
He's all the war in WrestleMania 8 where
just going down.
There were some bad WrestleManias there in the middle there. WrestleMania 8, WrestleMania 9.
Oh, 9 was... 9 is the worst.
And I'll say it again. I love Hulk Hogan. But...
That was fucked up.
So pathetic how he won that belt. That was disgusting how he won that. Even if it was his contract demanded the belt, you could have done it in such a 10 times better of a fashion.
Yeah.
You know, Bret Hart's got to, like, scour and crawl.
Go ahead. You go get them all.
It was so bad. WrestleMania 8, the funny thing about the whole entire other war, when I bring that up, I'm thinking about, you know, like Robert, is Sid Justice and Papa Shango double teaming Hulk Hogan. And all of a sudden, like, Ultra Warriors music just kicks on. No mistake, it's Ultra Warriors music. The entranceway was from, like, the end of your block.
So far away.
And he's just running. Finally gets there, and then they act like surprise. You know? Yeah. They're like, oh my god, the Ultra Warriors here.
I didn't hear the music.
This music just been playing for 2 minutes
straight. Crowds were popping while I was running down the aisle.
Oh, it was so bad. There were some bad ones. Although WrestleMania had, that was Flair versus Savage.
That was a good match.
Which was a good match. I kind of saved it a little bit.
There was another
WrestleMania 9 was bad.
I think Hitman and Piper was a pretty good match at WrestleMania 8.
Even WrestleMania 6 wasn't all that good. I mean, it was saved because of Holy Warrior.
Yeah, but that's...
all the other matches, if you... Bad. WrestleMania 7,
The Warrior Savage match was real good.
Yeah.
The Hogan Slaughter wasn't that great. Yeah. I mean...
Yeah, 8 was... 9 was bad. 9 was really bad.
But 10 was really
good. 10 was good.
10 was awesome. 10 had the ladder match, Hitman Yokozuna. Hitman Owen Hart was a real good match, too.
Yeah.
The fucking ladder match, though. You know what I watched the other night on the network? I watched the first Hell in the Cell. Michaels and Undertaker. Dude, that match is so fucking good. Like, it is so good. It's not like Mankind went off the top, which is crazy. Shawn Michaels doesn't do that, but still the bumps he takes. I love their later matches, WrestleMania 25, 26, but that's by far, far and away their best match. But Robert's ultimate warrioring, the whole fucking rebellion, all out, passionate. And it should be noted that he does enjoy himself too. You talked about that a couple weeks ago. He's going to war for his true love, but he's
still whoring
and
like,
drinking. You know. And, you know, and men do that at war. You're trying to sell this rebellion as you're fighting for your love, but, you know, you're in the whorehouse, dude. Come on. While they're taking Gull Town, Ned is heading north. Eddard crosses the Mountains of the Moon to the Fingers. Now, first off, the Mountains of the Moon, I believe even at this time, perhaps more so at this time, the wilding clans that Tyrion confronts in A Game of Thrones, Shaga and Timmit, they're still there in the Mountain of the Moon. We don't get any sign that Eddard met up with any of these wilding clans, but he had to have known they were there. And it doesn't sound like Eddard traveled with really anybody. It sounded like he was traveling alone. I guess it's possible that he left with people. Maybe he did run into trouble. Maybe he lost men and just arrived at Winterfell by himself. But it's pretty fucking ballsy to go the route of the Mountains and the Moon. Time was of the essence. He had to rally to the north. So while Robert is getting credit at Goldtown, Ned's traveling through the Mountains and the Moon by himself, trying to dodge wilding clans to the fingers. He hires a fisherman to bring him to White Harbor with a boat, but they get caught in a storm on the Bight, and the fisherman drowns. But his daughter... fucked up, man. His daughter still brings Eddard to the Three Sisters.
The fisherman's daughter, one of Jon Snow's many mothers.
Yeah. Was this you who were saying these are things that George wrote later on because he thought people had figured out R plus L equals J, yeah, so he's throwing out these red herrings.
He's throwing out these little, like, possible things so people can...
Well, the fisherman's daughter is one of them. And who is that? I think it's the Lord Burrell when Davos gets there. It's the Davos chapter where he hears that... That's,
yeah, yeah, he gave him a bag of coins and left the baby in the...
Left the baby in her belly. Fisherman's daughter brings Eddard to the Three Sisters, which are part of the Vale. And on Sisterton, Lord Burrell is urged by his maester to deliver Eddard's head to Aerys Targaryen. It'll be beneficial for their house. And if Aerys learns that you helped him, that's going to be for your house. And I feel like he might have done that the way it's written. He might have given Eddard up to King Aerys. But he learns that Jon Arryn and Robert Baratheon have taken Goldtown. So he's starting to second guess himself, and he thinks it's possible that the rebels win. So he lets Eddard go with, don't tell anybody you were here. If you guys lose, I don't want Aerys Targaryen coming down on me. You were never here. Mm-hmm. Go on your way to White Harbor. I'm not going to help you out, but I'll let you live. And you were never here. And that's really all we know. I mean, Ned arrives in White Harbor. We know White Harbor is super loyal to the Starks, way more so than in Game of Thrones. It must be an easy journey for him from White Harbor to Winterfell. And something else that's not specific, but I would have to assume when Eddard calls his banners, he has to be at Winterfell. He can't call his banners from White Harbor, right? He can't do that. Plus, he has to figure out stuff with Benjen and what Benjen's going to do while he goes off to war, because there must be a Stark in Winterfell.
Probably tell us, if I die, wave the white flag or something. Don't do what Bran did. Don't do what Rickard did. I mean, I'm doing this because my head was challenged. We need a Stark here. Do what you have to do to make sure there's a Stark here. I would assume that, because Benjen's the last, would be the last hope.
Yeah.
Like the last Stark.
You would think it might be important to, I mean, I know Benjen's young at this point, but to at least have some sort of marriage pact for him in place if you're going off to, there wasn't a lot of time. If Benjen is betrothed, it would have to be a northern house. It couldn't be any more of this Rickard southern ambitions, intermingling of great noble houses. It'd have to be like a fucking whoever, a Manderly or a Karstark. But I guess there's just no time. And Benjen goes on to join the Night's Watch anyway, but it would have been better for Ned had Benjen been betrothed. At least, you're not just leaving him alone at Winterfell. You're leaving him with an alliance with one of your houses. You know the North will stay secure and rally around him. We don't read of any difficulty that Ned has calling the North. There's not one house in the North that's going to say, I think I'm going to side with the Targaryens. The only reason that the North is part of Westeros, part of the Seven Kingdoms, is because Torrhen Stark knelt.
Yeah, there's still some people like, we should never announce.
Right. What does House Targaryen have to do with their day-to-day life anyway? The North is as good as another world. At the same time, they're definitely going to fight for their Starks. They're going to fight for Ned, especially after the death of Rickard and Brandon. And if you read The Dance of the Dragons, Northerners fighting in open field, it's pretty similar to Dothraki. They're screaming and yelling and just going nuts. And like, you know what I mean? Like, just craziness. So, key part of this rebel victory is the North united behind Ned and having a valid and a righteous reason to fight. Robert doesn't have as easy a time at the Stormlands. He has it out with Stannis to a certain degree, but I think he just brushes off whatever Stannis is saying to him. But Stannis has basically said, what are you, crazy? You're going to rebel against the king, against the Iron Throne. And Stannis, we know, currently his older younger brother and the heir to Storm's End, if Robert was to die, doesn't sit well with Stannis rebelling against the throne. It's like against his programming. You can't rebel. You know, I can't hear you, Robert. What are you saying?
Right now. This is all too much for me right now, Robert.
I can't see anything. Where's Proudly?
I'm blind.
Some of the Stormlords are remaining loyal to King Aerys, and they're rejecting his command to come to Storm's End to march north. And these are the houses Fel, Catherine, and Grandison. They were going to join their three separate forces together at the ruins of the Targaryen castle, Summerhall, in the Dornish Marshes, pretty close to the Stormlands. From there, they were going to march on Storm's End to confront Robert But Robert somehow hears about this. He hears the entire plan that they're going to meet at Summer Hall and they're going to march and storms in.
Who it was. I
can't remember who it is. We don't get a whole lot of detail to this battle. It's more of one of those mythical battles. Reason being, after Robert catches wind of what these houses are doing, he flies to Summer Hall, arrives there first, and as each lord shows up with his host, Robert beats them. Three battles in a single day, defeating the forces of three loyalist houses in turn as they arrived. So Robert's able to consolidate the power of the Stormlands, and in doing this, he wins the support of the rest of the Stormlords, which allowed him to march towards the Reach with no enemies in his rear. Robert killed Lord Fel in single combat. Lord Fel was killed, and his son Silveraxe, the fuck kind of name is that for son? Lord Grandison and Lord Caffrin were captured and taken to Storm's End as prisoners. The three captives would later join the rebel cause after some time spent in captivity. Robert wins all these guys to their side after beating their armies. So Robert has the power of the Stormlands, and he's marching on the Reach to head north. Ned, by this point in time, has the north rallied to him, and he's marching south. I imagine he'll meet up with Jon Arryn at the Vale. He waits for Ned, and together they march south.
I imagine north. That's where it's going to be, and they're going to try to meet up the Vale now with their armies intact, you know, round up. This is what we have. This is what we're going to do. But before that, Randall Tarly gets involved.
Yeah, as Robert's heading north. So then the battle at Ashford is the next major battle, and this is where Mace Tyrell and Randall Tarly come into play.
This poor communication. John Connaughton gets involved in here and says, listen, hold up. We're going to get your men. We're going to take the Targaryen men, and we'll meet you, and we'll cut him off, and we'll defeat him with all our men. But that doesn't happen.
He must still have not thought that this was a real threat.
It does not happen if Tywin's out there.
No. Wouldn't have gotten this far.
If he's the hand, he's making arrangements with Mace Tyrell and who he has at his disposal. Okay, this is the plan. It's John Connaughton. John Connaughton just...
He didn't think the job would require going to war.
When you have a king like the Mad King, you have to have a hand who's going to be very strategic or cunning enough. And John Connaughton is not one of those men.
It's crazy. Let's look at these two battles then, from Arya's point of view. House Grafton was closing Gold Town off to Jon Arryn, but was defeated. All right, I'm not ringing the emergency bell yet, but once you, and he had to have found out that Ned successfully reached the north and called his banners, and Robert has successfully reached the Stormlands and called his banners. And then once you hear that Robert wins three victories in one day, then
maybe be like not fucking hitting the bell like full on alarm, but there should have been all right.
Lights going off.
Guys, we better come up with something right now before this gets any worse.
I'm not saying we have a problem.
Before the leak turns into a flood,
yes.
Let's stop it. You underestimate them a little bit. All these guys are still alive. They're marching south. One's marching north.
Let's see what we can do about it together.
It almost feels like the Tarleys and the Tyrells, they just decide on their own. I'm like, I will do it.
Is that what they decided to do? Battle at Summer Hall should have been a red flag enough. So maybe the Tyrells, the Tarleys, they march on Robert's forces at the beckoning of Aerys Targaryen? Is that possible?
Why is Jon Connaughton not coming in there and saying, listen, we'll send our men also to cut him off?
Yeah.
See, Robert's getting attacked from like the southwest. We're going to come from the northeast, and he'll have nowhere to run. But they don't do that.
The battle at Ashford. And Ashford is... Ashford was the next town. They had the Grassy Vale, but you'd have to cross over the Mander to get to that. So Ashford's the next town. It makes sense that that's where a fight would happen. The seat of House Ashford in the Reach, and the van of the Loyalists' army, the van under Lord Randall Tarly, won most of the Loyalist victory, although Lord Mace Tyrell, Warden of the South, took the credit. With the Stormlands united behind him following the battles of Summerhall, Robert leaves his brother Stannis to hold Storm's End, and he advances west to Ashford. And Ashford, located within the Reach, was sworn to Highgarden and likely a Loyalist holding. It's possible that Robert tried to take Ashford to secure the western flank against the threat of the Tyrells, who could muster the largest army in the realm. Or he may have been outmaneuvered by Randall Tarly. But the battle occurred when the van of the Tyrell army ran into Lord Robert Baratheon's forces. Randall's forces overran Robert's army, and Robert was forced to retreat from the field before the main force of the Tyrell host had joined the battle. So it sounds like it would have been curtains for
right.
Yeah, so again, yeah. What if John Connaughton had gone down there?
Yeah, see, if he's retreating this way, now Connaughton comes in this way, he's trapped.
He's able to escape. if that was cut off from him, once Mace Tyrell gets there, it's doomsday for Robert. Lord Catherine, former Targaryen loyalist who had joined the rebels after his defeat at Summerhall, was cut down by Randall while fighting for Robert. So this dude tried to betray Robert, and now he's dying for Robert. Unbelievable. This is really Robert's only defeat, and really the only rebel defeat in the entire war, is Battle at Ashford. On the Reach side, one casualty of note was Lord Mace's cousin, Sir Quentin Tyrell. It is likely that the battle was not very large, and Robert's forces remained relatively intact. Faced with the large numbers of the main Tyrell force, Robert had no choice but to withdraw from the south and attempt to link up with his allies in the north.
So he goes north, further north, which would be cut off if Connaughton comes in. But now Connaughton comes in. Penny short and a day late.
More than that. Now, it's like a week late. A couple dollars short.
Because now Robert is going to...
Battle of the Bells takes place at the Stony
Set. Now Connaughton gets involved and he's going to go and he's going to get Robert Baratheon. For Rhaegar, for the Targaryens, I'm going to get Robert.
But what gets me, though, is how far he's able to march then. Because if you look at Ashford, he's able to march all the way to Stony Set.
Right.
King's Landing's right there.
Right. And why did the Tyrells around the Tarly army... march further north.
Well, here's
Hold on, I'm going to get up here. I'm going to show you. Okay, you can say, well, maybe King's Landing didn't know. Maybe they didn't know there was a fight going on. But why didn't the Tyrells and Tarleys follow this retreat?
Capital City didn't know a lot of things that were going on.
Send a raven, send a small host to King's Landing saying, we're going after Robert.
He's heading north.
Now you... It would have been too late for them to get there. Well, actually, it isn't too late to get, because Ned does get there. But if they had that amount of men, I don't think it matters.
Robert wouldn't have made it. What they're saying is he would have lost had Mace Tyrell's host arrived to help out Randall Tarly's van.
Why is Robert coming out this far west? I guess maybe this is...
Well, his idea was going that far west. So from the Storylands into the Reach.
Because he's getting awfully close to Highgarden.
Yeah. But his idea was, theoretically, if he took Ashford... held it even with a light garrison, it would defend his western flank from the Tyrells. His idea was getting there before the Tyrells could muster themselves together and march on him, and that would stand between his forces and the Tyrells, Ashford. But he doesn't get there soon enough to do that. Or Randall Tarly's quicker to the gun than he is. But the other thing that happens here, which I kind of understand, and it kind of makes sense, but it's, again, it's late. It's too late. And it's mind-boggling. It's like a Catelyn Tully move. It's Mace Tyrell not following Robert.
Right.
Randall Tully follows him, but Mace Tyrell and his host doesn't.
No. We are going to go east. And we're going to Storm's End.
Well, they go north and they're going to besiege Storm's End. Like, okay.
I don't know.
How does that help? He took the forces.
Robert Baratheon gets very lucky here, I think. A lot. Yeah,
he does. But you combine that luck with him single-handedly winning the Battle of Goldtown, with him... defeating three different hosts at the Battle of Summerhall, and suddenly, now it's Robert's Rebellion. Because Ned rallied his troops, Jon Arryn rallied his troops, they're going to meet up together and they're going to march south, but Robert is winning these battles. For Lyanna Stark, getting lucky, escaping certain death, this is Robert's Rebellion now. He's the owner of, because he's doing everything at this point in time.
Bleeding the most, he's in the most skirmishes right now.
Yes. All of the commanders on the opposing side, the loyalist side, they took, well, Robert's moving here, Robert's moving there. Robert's winning this war. And it becomes a war at this point. We said it wasn't until the Stony Step that Aerys realizes the real threat that Robert was, but I'm sure everybody outside of King's Landing was like, uh-oh. What's most mind-boggling for me is, why did the victorious Tyrell army go and invade the Stormlands and besiege Storm's End? Is this because Mace Tyrell doesn't want to fight? Is that what this is? I can't think of any strategic... At this point, once Robert's already gotten his troops and marched from the Stormlands, we've spoken before about how important it is for a lord to have their castle. You lose your castle, what does that say about you? But in this case, if he loses Storm's End, which he won't because Stannis is holding, and we know Stannis. Stannis isn't going to give up Storm's End. They're all going to starve to death before he gives up the castle. Maybe Mace Tyrell doesn't know that. What the fuck is the point of besieging Storm's End? Especially when you have Robert on the run. Let's take a break there. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the Battle of the Bells. So we're going to be right back.
born amidst salt and smoke, beneath a bleeding star. You are streaming
The Princes That Were Promised.
The podcast that tears Westeros apart
and sifts through the pieces.
We are back, the Wardens of Long Island, talking about Robert's Rebellion. Robert has lost the battle at Ashford. He has retreated, heading north, hoping to meet up with his buddy Ned.
BFF.
And his father figure, Jon Arryn. And it does seem Aerys is maybe not realizing the mistakes he's made, maybe not worried, but he does have to make some effort here to stop Robert Baratheon. Robert is the face of the rebellion side. And he decides that he wants to have a hand who is young and strong, just like Robert. Thus and so, he names as his hand,
John Connington,
Lord of Griffin's Roost. For the majority of Aerys' reign, Tywin Lannister was hand to the king. Tywin Lannister was also his friend in his youth. From 262 to 281, Tywin served as hand to the king, and then he left. Between 281 and 283, Aerys had four other hands, the first one being Lord Owen Meriwether. So a little background. Previous to the rebellion breaking out, previous to Rhaegar allegedly abducting Lyanna Stark, Aerys' mistrust of Tywin pretty much drove Tywin out of King's Landing. So the new focus of his mistrust and paranoia was his own son. It was Rhaegar Targaryen, the Prince of Dragonstone. And at court, there was a growing tension between factions loyal to the king and factions loyal to Rhaegar. And Owen Meriwether, the new hand to the king, and Maester Pycelle had to keep the peace between these two factions. Owen Meriwether proved ineffectual in preventing Robert's rebellion. So when Jon Arryn, Robert Baratheon, and Eddard Stark began their rebellion, Lord Meriwether sent missives to all of the lords of the Seven Kingdoms, declaring them outlaws and demanding their heads. He never left King's Landing. And then when news reached Aerys of Ned and Robert's successful return to their respective seats of power, Aerys believed that Lord Owen Meriwether was conspiring with Rhaegar and with them, and he was stripped of his lands and titles and exiled for his failure. Kind of got off lucky, though, because you'd think he'd be burned otherwise. But he decides to name someone young and vigorous to match Robert. So he names John Connington the Hand to the King, the Lord of Griffin's Roost, and we talked about his history with Rhaegar. He genuinely loves and cares for Rhaegar Targaryen, and he wants to succeed as Hand of the King. I don't know, so maybe he could be Hand of the King for Rhaegar to make sure that Rhaegar has a throne to sit. Connington, the first thing he does is he personally leads a huge army into the field, and he does give chase to Robert. Somewhere along Robert's rush north, with Randall Tarly to his south and with the royal army to his east, Robert is wounded and Robert is separated from his men. And he comes upon the Stony Step, which is where he takes refuge. And I guess he knew some people at the Stony Step. I would think he knew the whores at the Stony Sept, would I think be the friends he knew. But John Connington comes on the Stony Sept and
knocks on the door.
Yeah. And the hunt is on for Robert Baratheon. He knows that the people are hiding Robert Baratheon here. And yeah, that's what he does. Royal army.
You've seen this man. Very well. Next house.
Damn. All right, then. Royal Army.
I trust that man. We're on to the next building.
Have you seen this man? No.
Damn.
Okay.
All right, guys. Check the next one.
All right. Let's go to the next house. How many pictures of Robert do we have?
Damn.
Can you describe him?
He's tall.
I love the character John Connick.
I love the thing back in Dance of Dragons when you see what would Tywin Lannister would have done.
Yes.
Tywin Lannister would have burned this whole entire village, killed everyone.
Yes.
And only kill thousands of people to get Robert.
Yeah, you kill thousands of people, but how many people do you save? Not that Tywin was interested in saving people, but he just wants the war to end. It's not peace that he's interested in. It's
by killing a bunch of people, you save thousands.
And you have to think that that's exactly what Tywin would do. Maybe he would knock on a few doors, and once he get the vibe, he's like, all right, these people are going to give him up, so.
Yeah.
Kill them all.
Knock on one, two, just for the hell of it. Then, like, next you know, like, that's it. You'd be like, burn him.
But I feel like Tywin's MO is he doesn't want to, like, he would put that responsibility on somebody else. Force somebody else to make the call of burning the village. So it's on them. Like, with the Red Wedding, it's on Walder Frey. They wouldn't have done it without his okay.
He would make sure, though, like, the plan is,
We're burning the village.
We're burning the village if we go to that part.
Yeah.
You use your best judgment when that time comes.
But he's not getting away. You're burning that village. It's interesting with the John Connington character, what we hear about him here in the Battle of the Bells, it went door to door trying to convince people to give up Robert. And then the John Connington all these years later, he's like, well, this is what Tywin would have done. And you get the vibe that that's what John Connington would do now. So as he goes to Westeros, as he takes Storm's End and marches towards King's Landing, it's more of a Tywin Lannister type character that you're dealing with than John Connington of old. It's interesting heading into
the Aegon Targaryen, Daenerys Targaryen conflict or team up is going to work out where John Connington's head is at. Keeping in mind, he's got at the Stony Sept, this is where the Battle of the Bells takes place. And it's called the Battle of the Bells because at the beginning of the battle, the town sept tolled its bells to warn the citizens of the battle and to persuade them to stay inside their houses. Lord John Connington occupied Stony Sept with a mighty force. He ordered his soldiers to begin searching the town, even its sewers, for Robert. John offered pardons and rewards. He kept hostages in crow cages, but Robert remained hidden in various places by the townspeople. His last hiding place was the Peach, where he fathered Bella. The royalists had still not found Robert when on the horizon comes Lord Eddard and Hasta Tully at the front of their own hosts. The town septons rang bronze and silver bells to warn the small folk to remain indoors. The rebels stormed into the Stony Sept's walls.
And then all of a sudden, Robert Baratheon, here I am, John. He just comes out
like a fucking chicken wing in his mouth and a spear in his head. The rebels pull him up. The rebels stormed walls and attacked John Connington's army, who responded by fighting back fiercely in the streets, in the alleys, on the rooftops. John wounded Hasta Tully, and he killed Lord John Arryn's gallant cousin, and I guess the guy who was his new heir, Sir Dennys Arryn. He killed him with an axe. Yeah, not bad. John Connington did pretty well in this battle. Emerging from the Peach, when the bells began ringing, Robert slew 6 men, including Prince Rhaegar Targaryen's friend and former squire, Sir Miles Mouton. This guy's fucking like, he's like fucking John Stark's pre-game 7 in the fucking finals. Robert and John did not meet on the battlefield, according to Maester Harwin. When John recalls the battle, he recalls that he was nearly slain by Robert on the steps of the town sept. Connington realized the battle was lost and retreated. Robert maintained that Lord Eddard Stark had won the battle for him. Consider this then.
But I don't know if you're going to go with I'm going to go with now.
Right.
Why go back up north?
What do you mean?
Well, they're right there. Why go back up north to the Trident area? Why not attack King's Landing?
Yeah. Good point.
Well, I just thought that it would be out of character.
Well, maybe they had more forces to catch up with before the... That's a good point.
Right, that's all I think of. Maybe we're a guy
regroup that Robert
was in trouble. Maybe Robert's men went up.
Right. Well, that's the thing.
Robert said, "Listen, yeah. Robert, we lost Robert. Yeah. Robert's
we lost Robert. We have no idea what we're doing. We're just keep marching north
around someplace. But
we've been marching north for weeks. We don't know what to do.
Maybe they came down with only a part of the host, not the whole entire host. Which they would need the whole entire host to attack King's Landing.
Definitely would, and they would need a plan.
Might not have been enough.
Winning the Stony Sept battle is one thing, but taking King's Landing is another thing. Not only
that's
the only
thing that's what they didn't think of. They didn't come down there to the Stony Sept with the whole entire army. It was just enough army to get Robert out.
Even if it was the majority of their army, they go back to River Run to regroup, back into the safe Riverland areas to regroup and plan.
And maybe they're also thinking too, the Tarly army might be on their case now.
Right.
That they had to go back up north. Okay, so that would explain it.
Yeah.
So Chief, that would explain it. You know, they had to do our own retreat in their own hand because they couldn't get killed in the open like that.
Well, in the aftermath of the Battle of the Bells, King Aerys Targaryen finally decides to take Robert's rebellion seriously. For John Connington's failures, his lands are seized and he's exiled, where it's said that he drank himself to death. But we know that he didn't. And I think this plays into the Varys Blackfyre theory also. It seems like Varys must have scooped him up right then and there. We know he did serve for a while in the Golden Company. We know he did. So maybe not immediately. But he definitely did not drink himself to death. Aerys sends Sir Jonathor Dairy and Sir Barristan Selmy to the Stony Sept to rally what they could of the Loyalist forces. And finally, Rhaegar Targaryen returns to the fold from the Tower of Joy and advises his father to seek assistance from Tywin Lannister. And Aerys is like, fuck no. You guys are in it together. You're out to get me. Instead, I'm going to name Lord Carlton Chelstead my hand. Talk to me about how Rhaegar rejoined his father.
Aerys sends his Lord Commander of the King's Guard, Sir Gerald Hightower, to go on the lookout for Rhaegar, to have him come back to King's Landing, because he must fight on the side of the Loyalists, to lead the Loyalist army.
He finds him at the Tower of Joy, and he's there with Arthur Dayne and Oswald Wendt. But somehow he's able to convince both those King's Guardsmen to stay at the Tower of Joy, but also convince the Lord Commander.
That's the big one. I've always said that's the big one. For Arthur Dayne and Oswald Wendt to stay behind, because, all right, it's Rhaegar, you know, Arthur Dayne's my best friend, he's my best friend.
We're here, he is the prince, he's commanded us to do this, we gotta do what he says.
I'm gonna raise something up here right
now. Yeah.
I know what the answer you might be going with. At this point in time, Lyanna has to be pregnant, right?
She has to.
They have to know that she's pregnant.
For Gerald Hightower to stay there.
Right.
A few things have to be true for that to happen. That being one of them.
He's legitimized.
Yes.
So that means Hightower has to believe in the fact that Rhaegar married Lyanna. He's accepting that marriage existed. He stays there with the King's Guard. He doesn't go back with Rhaegar, where he has his other wife, children, heir, and King's Landing. Why?
Maybe there is an annulment.
Now maybe I'm just starting to think it may be more.
Yeah.
Because once again, you have the double marriage. Still, Elliot was the first. Aegon with Elliot, they still count. Hightower, there must have been something there for him to believe.
But the other part of this, though, is this the Lord Commander of the King's Guard. He's sent to retrieve Rhaegar. He doesn't return to his king. Who is
the king? What is Aerys thinking? Like, where's...
And why wouldn't he do that?
And why would he come up there with Rhaegar to protect Rhaegar also?
Right.
You know, what if he gets ambushed? I mean, who knows?
So
what if he gets
you know. It does work that he stays there because the baby, which we don't know, even know if it's a boy yet, right? It's not born yet.
No.
It may be a moot argument because if it's born a girl, he's not going to protect the girl while his king and the king's heir and the other king's heir and another king's heir are all king's land. Rhaegar has to have convinced him, but I think there has to be another piece to it. And I think that piece has to be Aerys Targaryen himself. I don't know. I don't know. It's weird because...
Why does he go back up there with Rhaegar?
You could say he doesn't believe in Aerys anymore, but that doesn't matter. He swore an oath.
Right.
Sir Gerald Hightower, known as the White Bull, was Lord Commander of the Kingsguard during the reigns of King Jaehaerys II Targaryen and Aerys II Targaryen. An amalgamation of Gerald and Sir Oswald Wendt is portrayed by Eddie Eyre during the flashback in season 6.
Yeah, it was a combination. Oswald Hightower.
All right. Okay. Gerald Hightower was present when Aerys burned Lord Rickard Stark alive in the Red Keep's throne room, and while Brandon strangled himself to death. As the two Starks died, Gerald took Jaime Lannister aside and reminded him that they were sworn to defend the king, not to judge him. You take that as Gerald Hightower definitely does not approve of what Aerys is doing?
He doesn't approve. Doesn't approve, but what can he do? He's the king. Remember the King's Guard. This is
what you got to do. It doesn't matter what he does. You're sworn to protect him. What he does is not an extension of you. Your job is just protect him because he's the king. During the rebellion, after the Battle of the Bells, Gerald was sent to find Prince Rhaegar. Rhaegar eventually returned to King's Landing. Gerald did not. He was next seen at the Tower of Joy in the Red Mountains of Dorne with two of his sworn brothers, both of whom had been with Rhaegar when he disappeared originally. Here they were guarding Lyanna Stark. Eventually found at the tower by Lyanna's brother Eddard and six of Eddard's companions after a short conversation with Eddard, during which the three knights refused several opportunities to leave unharmed. Combat ensued. Kingsguard do not flee.
Rhaegar must have gotten him to believe that this child needed the ultimate protection.
We can imply that he doesn't think Aerys is a fit king. It doesn't seem in his character, what we know of it, that he would betray that, even if that's what he thought. But it seems that he has. There's no other explanation other than he's giving up on Aerys, putting his trust in Rhaegar. So Rhaegar must have come up with some plan while he's at Tower of Joy, assuming that he'll beat Robert. We could keep going on this because what he says to Jaime when he arrives at King's Landing before he marches.
He wanted to fight with Rhaegar, but Jaime said no. Rhaegar said no because my father, you know, wants you around just in case.
Well, he says, I dare not leave my father. You know what? I want to know what he says because it's important. Maybe it could be taken as a couple ways. When the battle's done, I mean to call a council. Changes will be made. I meant to do it long ago, but it does no good to speak of roads not taken.
Changes will be made.
We should talk when I return. So Gerald shows up. Your father's mad. He burned Rickard Stark, killed Brandon Stark, called for Ned Stark's heads. The realm has erupted. It's not even about Robert's rebellion. It's about what his father's done that has caused this rebellion, this civil war. It's not even about him taking Lyanna. It's about what his father did. Because once he takes Lyanna, once Brandon comes racing down the King's Landing, it still is what it is. It's drama. Aerys takes it to that next level. Mm-hmm. He arrests Brandon. He calls Rickard Stark down. He kills them both. And then he demands the heads of Eddard Stark and Robert Baratheon. So that's what leads to war. And I'm sure that's how Gerald Hightower sees it. And I'm sure he saw the look on Aerys' face as Rickard burned. I'm sure he heard whispers of wildfire around the city. So essentially, he's doing the same thing that Jaime Lannister does. As well as Arthur Dayne and Oswald Wendt. For all intents and purposes, they're staying there because they no longer believe in Aerys Targaryen. They believe in Rhaegar Targaryen.
Yeah.
And they're going to protect his heir. It must have been in the Nolan. It must have been.
I call for changes. What's the change? It's the change that, guys, you're gone.
Right. But the more to it, there's the real enemy in the north that wants to bring the long night, that wants to bring the end of Westeros, of humanity. And that's what we have to fight. That's what we have to worry about. The changes must have been very far-reaching.
And this is the reason why I'm doing all these things, because I see it. It's very difficult for people to believe it, but I've seen it in a prophecy. And Ellie would believe it. Ellie would believe that it was her son.
Well, I think we talked about this, too. Maybe Ilya believed in it less because she really believed in it, and more because Rhaegar did, so she just felt she had to. But the fact that they remain behind, it makes a huge case for the annulment to Ilya, and it makes an even huger case that they're going all in with Rhaegar. Aerys is out, one way or another.
Well, the thinking is, if assumption implying, if Rhaegar wins this war, he's going to come back down south. They're going to say, listen, Aerys, you started this war. Well, you can say maybe Rhaegar started, but again, you killed these High Lords. Mm-hmm. This is the what if I was going to ask. They'll ask it right now. What happens to Eddard Stark if Rhaegar wins the Trident?
It's fine.
If Rhaegar is in the area, if he doesn't get killed in battle, and Rhaegar's like, listen, we got Eddard Stark, Rhaegar's going to...
It's
fine. The War of the North.
It's all good.
The War of the North.
And you know what? Baratheons are probably all good, too. It's just Robert that has to die.
Yeah. Because he's trying to kill Rhaegar. Stannis is... Lord of the Storm's End.
You know what? We're all good. Rhaegar wins the Battle of the Trident. I think we're all good. When he speaks to Jaime and he says, best not to talk of roads not taken. Before that, Jaime says he wants to go with him. And he says, no, I dare not. I wish I found it, but something to the effect of, my father's real worried right now. I dare not leave him with no protection. You're the only thing that makes him feel safe right now. I'm not going to leave him without that. And I always took that as, he didn't want his father to not feel safe, but that's not it. If he took Jaime, Aerys would know something's up. And he needed Aerys to sit where he was and feel safe, do whatever he was going to do while Rhaegar won this war so Rhaegar could come back and arrest him. And have him tried for being unfit to rule.
Rhaegar would have came back. He would have had the men.
It would have been a coup. And he would have
had the men. Tywin would have been on fire. Because listen, we got Jaime there. Don't worry.
I don't know. I don't know if Tywin would have been. But they had Jaime. So I don't think that he communicated with Tywin. I don't think Tywin was involved. And I'm not even going to say this is a conspiracy, because it's all coming to my head right now. But he had a plan to remove Aerys. He had the backing of the Kingsguard. He probably had the backing of quite a few people at the Small Council. Tywin is still a wild card. No matter what, Tywin is a wild card. He's out of pocket, sitting in the Westerlands. But had Rhaegar won the Trident, I'm sure he had a plan to come and place his father under arrest in The Sons of the Dragon, which I just read. And maybe,
that's the reason why George
puts it possible, out there. But
he does do that. He puts evidence of things that happened in the past, so when it does happen...
There's precedent for it.
It's like showing Brianna Tarth being Renly's Tormund, booming voice... He's president that Leanne.
Right, exactly. I'm telling you, it's like the prologue to Dance of Dragons, having this long meandering chapter about Varamyr Sixskins and Second Life, and then at the end of the book, Jon Snow is killed, and he thinks about Ghost. That's why it's there.
Yeah.
So that at the end, you know he's not dead, you know he's inside Ghost, and he's going to be whatever, it'll be okay, or changed, or whatever. But Maegar Targaryen at the end of The Sons of the Dragon, he's so cruel that the entire realm has given up on him. All his visors, all the Kingsguard, they all flock to his heir and name him king. There's precedent for it. And I'm sure it's happened in other times throughout history, but that has to be it. It has to be it, right? I can't think of anything else. I can't think of any other reason why Gerald Hightower would stay at the Tower of Joy with Arthur Dayne, with Oswald Wendt,
And the only time they're going to leave there is when Rhaegar comes back to King's Landing, and then he's going to come in there with Lyanna, and they're going to have a baby, and this is the change. Everyone's heard of D.D. Oh, Norman, but maybe there was something there. In Rhaegar's eyes, well, the marriage with Elia, that was chosen for me. That's not what I chose.
Yeah. And her kids are sickly, and she's sickly. And
the irony is Lyanna dies anyway. I mean, she would have died anyways. Even Rhaegar lived, she would have died in the childbirth.
And it's not a Song of Ice and Fire. She's from Dorne. It's got nothing to do with Ice and Fire.
That's why people bring, that's why Fain's the, he's, or, you know, he's a swell. How's the ice?
He's not.
John's Ice and Fire. He's the conception of the union of Ice and Fire.
Gilead doesn't know about it at the time. And it's kind of fucked up what Rhaegar does to her, but when you understand his motives and his frame of mind, what he's thinking, and how it is for not just the good of Westeros, but the good of every living thing on the known world. All right. You deal with an annulment. Not that big a deal. She's still the Princess of Dorne. I'm sure he'll take care of her. It's not like she's going to be homeless. Maybe get a castle. His kids with her will be treated very well, I'm sure. Would have been if they didn't fucking die.
But reverse.
That's crazy stuff, man. That's wild. So Arya sends Jailed Hightower to get Rhaegar because he's got to lead
the Targaryen army.
Jon Connaughton's failed. I don't know why Jailed Hightower doesn't lead the army, but I guess Rhaegar will lead the powers of Dragonstone, the Dornish armies, maybe some of Mace Tyrell's armies, but Rhaegar will have the largest force that we've seen in this war yet. Now it's all or nothing.
And we know that Barristan says to Dany that, you know, they fought for him because they loved him. They believed in him.
Yeah.
Probably a lot easier to have him fight for it, I guess, because then everyone would believe in him.
Well, that's it. The people, the small folk love Rhaegar. And right now you're fighting this war where people are falling in love with Robert the same way they love Rhaegar because of Robert's feats and the fact that Robert's doing this for love. So maybe Aerys is looking at this as like a PR kind of thing where, all right, well, my son Rhaegar, they love Rhaegar. So if I get Rhaegar involved with this, then we'll win more small people to our cause. We'll win more lords to our cause. And this won't be a threat anymore.
But he's wrong about it all. He's slow to the gun and he's slow to realize things. Like we talked about before, the lack of communication on the royalist sides.
And by the time the Battle of the Trident happens, it's 283 now, right?
It's 283 as the Battle of the Trident happens. All right, so we're going to stop there for today. And when we pick it up again next week, we'll have the Battle at the Trident, which is the end-all, be-all battle of Robert's Rebellion. With all of these opposing forces and possible fates on the line, it's Robert that emerges victorious. And we do see the fall of House Targaryen, not permanently.
Their reign as...
reign over Westeros and as a relevant force for quite some time. As always, you could find us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepromisedprinces. Tweet at us on Twitter, @princesspromised. You can read our writings, theprincesthatwerepromised.wordpress.com. And find us on the website, thepromisedprinces.actionpackpodcast.com. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Castify. Leave a review, tell a friend, tell a family member, tell a coworker. We'll speak with you guys next week. Bum, 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 bum